Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course, that's the name football, of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss me in the britches. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Esty, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? And you love this podcast.
Welcome into the Mountain West Connection Podcast. Jeremy Moss here, hanging out. Matt Kennerly will be joining me shortly. Our website is always mwcconnection.com. Check us out there. Read our, I'll say good stuff. Maybe not award-winning, but we'll say good stuff we have up on the web. Check it out there. Same thing on Twitter, mwcconnection. Mountain West Connection over on the Facebook if you want to check out stuff that may not always be on our website. But thanks for hopping on and downloading and listening to a couple of notes really quick. Unfortunately, the technology critters or bugs got into our system, and we still have a good 45-minute show after this wraps up here, this portion, but due to some tech issues, I'll blame myself. Do not blame Matthew at all. It was all me. Apparently, I have a new program. Once again, what's new? Something happens. Something goes wrong. That's also why this is Thursday afternoon and not Wednesday midday or morning when it normally comes out, but we will be missing the Arkansas State-Utah State game, Rutgers-New Mexico, Fresno-Toledo, and UNLV-Michigan game. So you have to read our stuff on that. We start with San Diego State, NIU, a good portion of the games. We do apologize for that. A couple quick notes about the games we're facing or talking about. We apologize for not preparing better for NIU. Drew Hare, quarterback, is out with an injury. So when you hear us stumble across that, well, hey, we're not professionals too much. We try to, but stuff happens. But really quick, Arkansas State, Utah State, that's Friday night up in Logan. Aggies could be without running back Devontae Mays. He had left on crutches against the USC loss. Questionable game time decision. So that's something to watch out for. Look for guys like LaJuan Hunt who could possibly step up in that running game there to fill that void. In Arkansas State, they're 0-2, and they've won multiple Sun Belt titles in a row. So there's a little bit of a step back what they normally do for their team the past couple of years. They've had, I think, including Brian Harrison, Hugh Freeze, multiple coaches, multiple conference titles, not to be taken lightly. Also, they beat Utah State a couple years ago in overtime. Like I said, other backs could be Tony Lindsay, Justin Hervey, a couple of guys back there might get some carries with Aggies. So that's one game. This is our rapid fire, I guess, preview I'll do really quick to get you guys what me and Matt may have missed. I believe, don't speak for Matt, but I think we both picked the outright win. And we had New Mexico at Rutgers. It's a big one. I thought they could win. It's still only a 5.5 favorite for Rutgers, but New Mexico's without Taron Gibson out, concussion protocol, as is Dakota Cox. Same issue. So that's a pretty big deal. Running game should be fine. You have like guys like Richard McCorley back there. There could be a few more runs for Lamar Jordan at QB, hopping in for to give Austin Apodaca a breather. But it's a big deal. Offense should be fine. Defense is where there's issues. Dakota Cox led the team in tackles with 20. I think he had an interception, a couple tackles for loss, a sack as well, forced fumble. So he's pretty much been the defense. So that's a one to watch out for. It's an early kick, noon on ESPN News. And then Fresno-Toledo, which Matt was here to chat a bit more about that game. But Toledo, Logan Woodside, they got to pay attention. He's a QB there. Fresno secondary really needs to step up. And when we talked to Matt, he thinks that's a possibility with who they have going back there. Toledo is 2-0 on the year, a MAC favorite. Fresno still needs to find out who they want to play at running back. They're still kind of bouncing around to see a few guys on there who might take the bulk of the carries after replacing with Martez Waller from last year. And the first couple weeks hasn't really shown of who might be that number one guy. It's probably going to be a Dontell James. He's had the most carries, 39. So look for him to maybe get some more attempts there. And maybe Dontay O'Neal a little bit. But you got Trayvon Green. Those guys had a handful of carries. We'll see how Virgil does against this Toledo defense. And again, they have new coach. Kind of a new QB because Woodside is back after being replaced last year for kind of injury situation. So that one's a big deal. It's a 3-touchdown favorite for Toledo. I think that should be much closer than that. Maybe 14 points or so. I think Fresno has improved a bit. And we'll see. It's a big game where competition kind of levels out for them. They're not playing Nebraska and they're not playing Sacramento State. Still a good Toledo team, but the kind of moves toward the middle. If you're looking at that elevator type thing, they're not at the top or the bottom facing the who they've gone up against the last couple of weeks. The next quick game we didn't get to, UNLV at Central Michigan. Obviously, the Chips got the win over Oklahoma State, even though it shouldn't have counted. But again, if you're that close and you nearly beat a ranked team, Oklahoma State, they're still a good team. They got the win, whether it counted or not. Well, I guess technically it did. The rule, I should say, was dumb. You should have figured it out, officials. But, hey, they played Oklahoma State very well. Ended up getting the win. Took them toe-to-toe. Took the last play of the game, essentially, to get the victory against them. And got Cooper Rush, who's the QB. Had 5 TDs overall. The Rebels, their wide receiver still an issue. Their depth, they have 5 true freshmen or redshirt freshmen on that 6 deep there. They have Devontae Boyd, obviously, as their main guy. And we'll see what Central Michigan does to cover him. But I think this could come down to more of a what UNLV does on defense. Just because Central Michigan's going to throw as much as they did, they need to stop that passing game or limit it as much as they can. And then on offense, I get Lexington Thomas a lot of carries since the receiving core is young and the depth isn't there due to players being out injury and just the lack of, maybe not lack of, but they just have a lot of young guys on there. Maybe experience is a good way to put it. They need to build that up. And that's a 13-point favorite for the Chips. I think my prediction, got to think about it. I probably go with the Chips. We had to record this over like 3 days, so we had quite a few issues with what was going on. But I'm going to say Rebels weren't going to pull this out, and Chips would win by probably about that same 2-touchdown margin there. And now we'll take a short moment to regroup for everybody as we get this rest of this podcast inserted. Cross my fingers you guys actually hear this, and I'll move on to more in-depth between San Diego State and NIU, plus the rest of the games throughout the week. All right, next game we have San Diego State and NIU. That's Northern Illinois, for those who do not know that acronym. And it's an afternoon game, CBS Sports Network. Typical, it's probably the home for Aztecs football, right?
More or less at this point.
It's not a night game, so that's something.
Yeah, it is a road game, though. They're heading back east, which is never easy for any kind of West Coast team, especially with an afternoon start. You know, it's 12:30 Pacific, 1:30 Mountain Time. But this is a game that I think, you know, especially coming off of last week's win, they don't want to come out flat in this game against the Huskies, especially since you're catching NIU at a really good time. You know, they've been blown out, you know, they got blown out last week by South Florida, and then they lost that heartbreaker in the season opener against Wyoming. So, you know, this is a different kind of prove-it game for the San Diego State Aztecs, I think.
Yeah, and it's also not the same Northern Illinois team. That's won, I believe, they've won plenty of MAC titles in their day. And so this is clearly, while they'll be competitive for that division, their odds of them winning less than normal. And they do have Drew Hare. That's what their offense will be led by, throwing the ball around. But this is a team that Aztecs should win. This could be a game for Pumphrey. Want some more Heisman love if he gets a big game, because more people can actually tune into this game because it's not so late. And that's always a positive for them if they want to build up or gain more notoriety, more publicity for not just Pumphrey, but the team as well. If they want to maybe kind of sneak up on Houston if they stumble on a conference game. Because they do play Cincinnati on, by the time you're hearing this, probably right now, Thursday night. So conference games are huge for them, and they just need to just keep winning for the Aztecs to, you don't need to worry about the other team, but get the win. And Pumphrey's probably going to run against any team, but, you know, he's going to do his thing, get quite a few yards. Maybe, should he go for 300? Is that a good enough goal for him?
I mean, I wouldn't put it outside the realm of possibility, you know, especially since, you know, the run defense for Northern Illinois, at least to this point, has been a bit of a letdown for them out there in DeKalb. I think, you know, they've been giving up more than 5 yards a carry so far. They've allowed 5 touchdowns on the ground. And that's kind of an uncharacteristic thing for them. And, you know, even their own running attack is a little bit, has been a little bit underwhelming so far, too. You know, they have guys that they like that back there, like Joel Bohanian, who he's only they're only averaging 3.7 yards as a team so far. Mm-hmm. So with the defense, with a front, you know, with a front three and the linebackers behind them as good as they are for San Diego State, you know, that's the potential for a real mismatch, I think.
Yeah, and even I definitely agree, because they've had two different leading rushers. I'm trying to look up to see if Kennedy Galladay's injury, because he led the team in rushing versus Wyoming. Mm-hmm. But oh, that's a wide receiver. I apologize. I should scroll down a bit more. He's a that could be a weapon they could use. I'll just make a quick sharp turn there. I thought he was a running back. I think he made that same error when what they put to Wyoming. So good for me for keeping up on this stuff. But they might need him. Like, if they're going to have to do something different in the running game, maybe get him involved to kind of mix it up for what he did versus Wyoming. That could they might need to do not necessarily trick plays, but get more people involved. Like, you see the jet sweeps, end around type stuff. Maybe they can use him that way. But even though it's not like you're going to trick this defense, that's going to be really good. And the passing game of Drew Hare, DeMonte Casey will just yawn at Hare, because you're not Davis Webb. You're not going to throw 71 times. And matchups are favored Aztecs all over the board.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily. You know, this isn't a team that's quite as explosive or not quite as built around the pass as a team like Cal is. They really want to be balanced, but they just haven't found the production on the ground. And I think that that's put a lot of pressure on Hare to make plays. And he's been fine on the season. You know, he's completed about 63% of his passes. He's averaging a little over 7 yards an attempt.
What we should mention, maybe if you look at the depth chart, he's not playing this game.
Oh, he's not?
No, because I just glanced at it now, and I saw Ryan Graham had 9 of 15. We should look into see why. Maybe some pre-show research should be helpful. But I pulled their depth charts. I'm like, well, why did Graham get that many attempts? He is
first
now...
Google headline, according to the Chicago Tribune. He suffered an injury that could end his career.
Oh, geez.
So yeah, and I mean Ryan Graham, if you remember if you watched Northern Illinois, especially late last year, when they kind of, you know, they more or less collapsed down the stretch in the MAC title game and in the Poinsettia Bowl against Boise State. You know, a lot of that fell onto the really kind of unenviable situation that they had to handle, you know, with a third string quarterback, because, you know, both Hare and Graham got hurt. So I think that if he's going to be the guy for Northern Illinois, he's kind of an unknown, I think, to this point. He's not altogether different from Christian Chapman in that way. But I think that with the defense playing at a high caliber like they have been in the first couple weeks, that, you know, the Aztecs will be ready for him.
And they will, but it looks like it was an ankle injury. Apparently that's going to possibly end his career. That sucks. So even with that, that's probably giving me more credence to, not that I was not going to make the pick anyways, but Aztecs probably should win and win easily with this. He's a sophomore this year, obviously, for played a bit last year, but with the backup QB in there, man, this they're gonna probably shut down NIU for the most part, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I had no idea about Drew Hare, so apologies for lack of foresight.
same
I have all
me.
These tabs and nothing about that. Go figure.
I just happened to see 9-15. They got blown out. So I'm thinking maybe he just came in just because for getting a blowout, but not the case.
And I think that's the kind of thing that bodes well, you know, if their quarterback, you know, inexperienced for San Diego State, you know, that's a good matchup for them, I think. So that, I'm with you. I think they should probably end up winning this game pretty comfortably.
Okay, 3-0 for the Aztecs. Next game for about 10 seconds, UC Davis, Wyoming. Wyoming's at home again. They should win. Anything about this game that we really need to, like, what do you want to see from Wyoming really quick? Brian Hill bounce back, maybe more consistent in the passing game, perhaps?
More or less, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Brian Hill going up against that Nebraska defense last week wasn't the best matchup in the world. But, you know, I think we both expect a little bit more from him with as good as he's been in the last couple of years. So if he can get back on track against, you know, a Davis team that, honestly, if I remember correctly, they were picked to finish last in the Big Sky Conference this year.
Hey, the Big Sky, they are the SEC of FCS football, some people say.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is the kind of matchup that Wyoming should run away with. You know, if it's 28-0 by the end of the first quarter, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, let's just get Josh Allen to not have stupid interception or turnover. So let's move on next game. Another FCS game, Northern Colorado at Colorado State. Apparently the mayors of Greenlee and Fort Collins made a wager of some sort of local produce, so there's always that to look forward to. And we're going to talk probably a bit more than we normally would because there's a new quarterback in town for the third straight week.
Another one.
Yeah. Colin Hill is getting the start for Colorado State, announced on Wednesday after he took the 100% of the first-team reps on Tuesday. So, yeah.
That's going to work out great.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, Rams fans. I've been where you probably are right now as someone who survived 2014 and 2015, that quarterback carousel. You know, I can tell you firsthand it's not fun, and it kind of makes me wonder what Nick Stevens has done to really deserve this. I mean, I know that he played pretty poorly in the opener against Colorado, but
didn't play in the UTSA game at all.
Yeah, so it makes me wonder, like, how the opinion of him changed so quickly that they didn't consider at all turning back to him when Bauta struggled against the Roadrunners.
Because I think maybe a few reasons I'm kind of thinking of. This game, it's good for Colin Hill because Northern Colorado, he should have a good game. There shouldn't be any issues with that. But going so quickly, like, I know, what was he, 6-for-20, and Nick Stevens in the opener, not very, or something terrible like that, 31 yards or something, no touchdowns, couple picks. Gets benched. Okay, I could see bringing him a Fountain Bada because you were 6-for-20. I could even see giving Bada starting the job last week. But then they go to Colin Hill, who didn't even, and this was a close game versus UTSA. It wasn't like it was a blowout, and he still, what was he, 3, I'm pulling up right here. Colin Hill didn't look impressive, 2-for-6. So, yeah, Bada was 6-for-17, but it's not like Colin Hill is doing anything special in this game either last week.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to make that kind of switch against an FCS team, is a really good time to do it. The other benefit that, you know, Fresno State didn't really have in the last couple of years is they still have a very strong running game. So, you know, if Izzy Matthews and Dalen Dawkins combine for like 40 carries in this game, don't be surprised.
Yeah, I just don't. I get the point of bringing him in, but you burn a redshirt from a guy. And Nick Stevens is going to, I already called earlier in the year a little bit, when we talked about the Colorado game, he's not going to be in the Rams team. He's going to be gone. He's going to transfer. Somebody will pick him up. He'll go somewhere else. If he sees playing time again the rest of the year, I'd be shocked. And wouldn't be shocked if he makes an announcement before Thanksgiving that he decides to move on somewhere else. Because at this point, if you burn Colin Hill's redshirt, he has to be your starter the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, unless, you know, heaven forbid, knock on wood, that he suffers some kind of injury, I think, you know, if this is the move you make, you really kind of have to stick with it. But the upside is it really can't get any worse, because right now, among the three quarterbacks as a team, Colorado State's dead last in quarterback rating in the FBS.
Oh, overall, that wouldn't surprise me. What do they have? What? Let me guess. 20 completions?
64.4 rating.
Don't they have like 20 completions, I think, for the season as a team?
20-of-52, 171 yards, 2 interceptions.
1 touchdown by Bauta in the Colorado game. So you got to stick with him. Unless, I don't think they'll go back to Stevens, because I don't want to speculate too much, but it's just hard. I guess Bobo's just saying, head coach, I looked at the film. He's our best quarterback. We're going to play him, and good luck. That's all I got. Good luck, Rams. Hopefully it works out.
All right.
Next game, Buffalo at Nevada. Ooh.
The quarterback is back.
Yes. I'm excited for this game. It's on Campus Insiders. We don't have too many super late games. This is a 7, it's a 6 Pacific out there in Nevada. Late, a little bit late for those fans over at Buffalo and the UBBullRun.com guys. We'll maybe chat with them this week. But Buffalo has 2 quarterbacks.
That'll be fun.
One's a freshman. I'll look at the other guys. I pulled up real quick.
The other guy is Grant Rohawk.
He's an Iowa State transfer, right?
Yes.
Okay, I remember looking at it and seeing that. So we have those two guys. Buffalo's whatever. They're a MAC team. Nothing particular special great about them. However, we'll get back to them in a moment. But why is Brian Polian saying Tyler Stewart's our guy, but we're going to play three quarterbacks? When has that ever worked? Ever announcing not playing because you have to, but you get what Notre Dame's done or what other teams done. We'll play two guys. When is it said we're going to play three guys? When has that ever been said publicly?
Never. I've never heard that before, and I don't understand it at all. And honestly, I kind of hate it.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
I mean, because, you know, you can kind of forgive Tyler Stewart a little bit because Notre Dame's still one of the best teams in the country, yeah. Right? And he did have a pretty good first half in the game against Cal Poly. So, I mean, I don't understand what the sense of urgency is to really push him or to kind of open up the competition like this against, you know, a Buffalo team that, yes, is rebuilding. They're playing two quarterbacks of their own. But honestly, Nevada might need a big win more than any other team in the conference this week. And to pull this kind of move, to me, is really questionable.
Because Stewart, like, here's the thing, like, they have allegedly good wide receivers on their team. That's why Hashawn Henderson's not even a starter. But you're right, it doesn't make sense. Like, we'll continue to play three quarterbacks. When you look at the past two games, yeah, like I said, playing Notre Dame, yeah, if they lose big, that's, again, they're ranked, what, top 20 team, could be a top 10 team if things go their way. They only played two QBs last week, and against Cal Poly, they played just Stewart. So what's all this talk about continuing to play three quarterbacks when they've only played two?
I mean, what is Hunter Frelick going to give you that Tyler Stewart doesn't? You know what I mean? You kind of understand, like, what Stewart gives you at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not a guy who, in his, you know, year plus of starting experience, that's really pushed the ball down the field. You know, he only averaged, 6.5 yards per attempt last year, and that number's actually gone up a little bit. Or it's right about the same, actually. Excuse me. I was looking at the guy behind him. But, you know, he's averaged 6.6 yards per attempt. You know,
Rufus was a trip. I was reading up on the article. Actually, he didn't throw a pass, but he ran the offense. So, like, he's an option guy.
I mean, he's not a guy who's going to make a lot of explosive get plays in the passing game, but he's not a guy who's going to be careless with the football either. He's actually been pretty good about that. So, like, you know, you're in kind of a win now situation, aren't you? Like, why would you do this? I don't understand it.
I've said, and I was talking to, I forget who it was. I think it was our guy, Tyler Bischoff, who used to write for us, now does stuff in Las Vegas. I hopped on his radio show last week, and he's like, this is before the Cal and Boise, Washington State victories in San Diego State last week. He's like, so who's number two in the West? I'm like, I still kind of stuck with Nevada because James Butler's is still a good running back, and you're right. Like, they're still probably maybe UNLV now, but who would you put number two in that division?
I mean, I think before the season, I had San Jose State ahead of Nevada. I think among you, me, and Chris, mm-hmm. I was the guy who was kind of down on the Wolfpack.
Yeah, I think so. Possibly. I remember you were higher on San Jose. Maybe we flipped. Like, you had San Jose higher and I had Nevada. But who's your number two team right now, though? Is there
honestly,
one? Fresno?
It's probably still San Jose State.
We'll see.
I mean, we'll see how things shake out. We'll get to them in a little bit.
They're
going to
lose this week, but whatever.
But, I mean, Nevada hasn't really shown me anything. And this, you know, triple option quarterback, whatever you want to call it, thing, just to me smacks of desperation. And if they lose this game because of it, like, how much longer is it going to be until Brian Polian gets fired?
Yeah, exactly.
I think kind of how this plays out. Yeah, like, he can't come back from something like this, can you?
I don't know. I was asked that as well. I've just been on a few people that have me on recently. I forget who it was. It could have been the guys in Hawaii. Or no, maybe it was the guys in Boise. Your guy, Jay Cameron, does stuff for us right now. He's like, he asked me, like, who's going to be fired? Like, out of the division. I said Tim DeRuiter. Not that he would be, but like I said, mm-hmm. if you rebuild your entire staff, essentially, and you're one of the last few guys there, you're in a pretty short leash. So I still kind of stuck with that, but you make some good points. Like, if they're jerking this stuff around QB and Polian does this because he also has a new OC, partly because Nick Rolovich left to Hawaii, but he says they're going to keep the pistol offense. If they're going to play Asanu Rufus, He's a see a true freshman, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He's a
sophomore.
He's a sophomore.
I believe so. Yeah.
Oh no. So oh, maybe I'm looking at this wrong. Who's the third quarterback? Is it Rufus? It says he's a safety. Am I just reading things crazy tonight? Because it's
on the depth chart. It says Stewart, Ty Ganji, and Hunter Frelick.
Oh, maybe I'm okay. I must have been looking at this. Okay, are they going to play four quarterbacks? Because reading here, no, I'm serious because I'm looking through. I'm like, I just mentioned Rufus before. Like, oh, he had two running plays. Here's what it says. Like, in polling, he's kind of backtrack a bit. Maybe I should have read this before I kind of glanced at it. But he said this at a, with the 100 boosters in attendance. He brought it up. So who's going to be quarterback or who wants to talk about QB? And Asanu Rufus, I glanced over. Maybe my mouse is over, but he's a safety and he had multiple snaps under center in the triple option mode where he ran twice. And he's says here, a high school state championship winning triple option quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran that exact same scheme. So could we see six quarterbacks in this game overall? That really sounds like desperation. If they put a safety in at QB, it could have been for a couple of plays, but I'm going to throw my hands up. I have no idea what to think what Nevada is doing now. They say they're going to keep the same offense, but they going to put in the, what did he call the, what did Pullian say? He said something weird. That's kind of about whatever. I can't think of it now. So it's not important, obviously, but some wrinkles essentially to the offense is put in a safety or wrinkle when you already have a quarterback that's like Tyler Stewart's not a terrible QB.
No, I mean, he's been fine. Like, he's not quite the dynamic passer that, you know, someone else in the conference like Brett Rypien has shown himself to be. But he hasn't been that bad where he should be losing his job at this point, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. One thing they should know, this is against Notre Dame where Ganji had a eight plays, the offense moved 116 yards. Or excuse me, yeah, 116 yards comparatively to, and I don't recall when he came in because I didn't watch this whole Notre Dame game. It could have been late where Notre Dame's rotated in their backups. They had 184 yards on their other 48 plays. So you could see where, hey, this guy moved the ball well. Let's get him out there. But I need to watch this game closely and see what's going on because I have no idea what they're doing there.
Yeah, and I mean, on the flip side too, you know, Buffalo's got their own quarterback situation going on with their, you know, their true freshman, Tyree Jackson, who apparently is a big dude. I didn't realize he was like 6'7" and 250 pounds.
He's quarterback? Basically. You sure?
That's what Bill Polian said.
Okay.
He was talking about him. So he's a big target, right? And I didn't realize this until right now. Guess how many sacks the Nevada defense has?
Given up or you mean defensively?
Yeah. How many sacks does the Nevada defense have?
I'll say zero.
They have zero sacks.
And that includes playing a triple option Cal Poly team where you should be able to get a few sacks or at least something.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, this isn't to take nothing away from because they are kind of middle of the conference in tackles for loss so far. But, you know, this is an opportunity for the defense to really get healthy against a Buffalo team that's really trying to sort out its own situation. You know, if you're getting a guy who's a true freshman, who's making his first start against this team,
on the road,
which I think is what, you know, Bill Polian expects and also what, or rather Brian Polian. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be what a lot of Buffalo fans expect as well. Like, this is your chance to get well. You know, Nevada needs to win this game.
Also, yeah, they do. They should, even with the quarterback mess. I want to see some stability, but Buffalo's coming off a bye where they lost to Albany week one. So
yeah, that's the other thing.
All right. Do you think Nevada? Because maybe I was weird. Like, I don't know. I'm not confident with reading over what they might do at QB or play four quarterbacks. I don't. Jeez. 11 points seems a lot. I think they'll win, but I'll just go with that and stick there. If they cover, great. But I'm not confident that's the case.
Are you saying they're 11-point favorites?
Yeah.
That is too much.
That's a lot of points.
Yeah. I would take Nevada to win a very close one, maybe like a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
But I would take Buffalo to cover that spread.
I think what you'll see, a heavy dose of James Butler would be my guess, and that should be the case, but we'll see. All right, the final game of the night, Hawaii at Arizona. Have you seen what Arizona's wearing for this game?
You forgot one.
Oh, sorry.
We'll come back to it.
We'll come back to it because that's one of my favorite teams, and so it puts it at the top of ESPN.com. So, We'll get to that game later. Hawaii at Arizona. Do you keep racking up those frequent flyer miles, Warriors? But have you seen what Arizona's wearing to commemorate the USS Arizona?
I have.
I think Hawaii must counter with the rainbow uniforms.
Are they allowed to do that as the road team? Wouldn't they be wearing white?
Well, oh, dang it. I thought it was. I know they're wearing white helmets the rest of the way, so maybe they can wear the white helmet part.
Also, still not as good as Air Force's jerseys last week.
Oh, of course not. The closest thing would be the Navy, kind of where they had the different battleships on their helmets. That's the only one that would rival the Air Force one last week.
Yeah.
But I guess you're right, they can. But I know they're wearing white helmets the rest of the way, so maybe they can wear that, perhaps.
Perhaps.
But Hawaii, there's no line in this game still. Oh, no, there is a line now. It just popped up. 24.5 for Arizona.
Interesting.
That seems like a lot,
considering they almost lost to Grambling last week.
Yeah, 31-21 versus Grambling, and Arizona's defense is not that great. And it, here's the New Solomon got replaced. They have Brandon Dawkins, New Solomon's injured, excuse me. I think in that BYU game he got hurt. So you got Brandon Dawkins at QB, played enough. Here's the headline, AP headline, Dawkins leads Arizona rally in 31-21 victory over Grambling State. And it was 21-3 Grambling at the half.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if Hawaii's going to have any success, the rushing defense, because I saw a good amount of Arizona in their opener, they need to Paul Harris, Stephen Lakalaka, St. Juice needs to run as well, as I questionably say that name. But that's where they need to do something. I know Grambling only had 60 yards on the ground. Bunch that was sack yardage to deduct that. But Arizona's weakness on defense is the rushing game.
Yeah, and I think on the flip side, too, Hawaii is going to have to figure out how to stop Nick Wilson.
Exactly.
Because, you know, as much as Arizona has struggled at times in the first couple of weeks, he's off to a very fast start. You know, he's second in the Pac-12 through two games in rushing yards. You know, he's averaging right around, 6.2 yards per carry so far.
And that includes playing that good defense week one versus BYU, because that's a pretty good front seven as well.
Yeah, and I mean, and they're not shy about handing him the ball, because he's actually leads the Pac-12 in, total carries so far. And they needed him just because, their quarterback situation is still a work in progress, I think.
It looks like it shouldn't be, but I think it's going to be Dawkins, assuming the injury. I'm going to pull the depth chart, but I think it's still Dawkins. He's played enough. That was a couple years ago in the Fiesta Bowl. He wasn't there yet, but he's a younger guy. They've gone back and forth because the new Solomon's had so many concussions. That's why he's probably not the main guy, because he's gotten hurt quite a few times. And it looks like going into this game, they're sticking QB. It's still an or situation, so Solomon could be back. Should probably look that up more. But Hawaii, they are quarterback. There was a talk about Drew Brown being QB. It's still a Keke Woosley starter, so that shouldn't be a shock. But this is a chance, because Hawaii can throw the ball a little bit. If Woosley gets a little more accurate in his passes, and if the running, I know it's a lot of ifs, if he's more accurate, if there's a running game, if there's this and that. I'm saying there's chances for them to at least move the ball a little bit, especially on the ground. Because Marcus Kemp, he's a great receiver. Get him involved a lot. There's chances where I'd say this. Hawaii has the potential in offense to be better than they are. I think they need Woosley to step it up and throw better. Because versus Cal, while he did have some overthrows, players got open. Once he got somewhat comfortable, there are some passes that he caught. But the week after that wasn't. Playing Michigan, it's like, whatever, I'll just throw that game out the window because they're pretty good. And UT Martin, he wasn't great. But I think I see potential where they have players. They just need Woosley to be the guy to be at least step it up, because Kemp will be fine. Rushing game should be fine with the three guys back there, but Arizona's defense isn't very good. So that's what I'm saying. If Grambling could score that many points on you, Hawaii should be able to do something similar to that.
Yeah, and I mean, I was trying to look at some of these numbers, and they've given up 27 plays of more than 10 yards, the Wildcats have so far. And they're also, sorry, I was looking at the wrong one. But I'll just segue to my next point. Basically, what you see with Keiko Woolsey at this point is kind of what you get. He's probably never going to be the most efficient quarterback, But what you could say about how the offense has treated him so far is that, like, it's allowed him to make more big plays down the field. Like, if you look at his yards per attempt this year versus, like, the last 2 years, it's up by about 2.5 yards per attempt so far. And, you know, Arizona's kind of shown a penchant for letting opponents move the chains more often than not. They're actually last in the Pac-12 in, you know, opponents' third down conversions, which... They've given up 53% of their third down chances, which is kind of a rare advantage, I think, for Hawaii, because they aren't necessarily known for being the most efficient team. But like you said, if they can establish the running game and if they can give Woolsey chances to make, you know, take shots down the field, you know, if the defense can find a stop or two, especially on the ground, this game could be a lot closer than people realize.
One thing to note in the defense, they are getting back Jake Matthews, a start at linebacker, been out 9 months with the injured foot from, had surgery to repair, I don't know if it was broken foot or whatever, Liz Frank or something, but he's going to be back in the starting lineup, and so not sure how much he'll play, because he did consider a medical retirement from football, so if he's a starter back, it's if he's going to come in right away and play, that could be a bump for them, but if he hasn't played since late last year, I don't know how good he'll be, but it's just a guy, if Rich Rodriguez is confident enough for him or Marcel Yates to DC to do that, then that could be a boost to Arizona, that Arizona needed. But Hawaii's not going to win this game. That's pretty clear, right?
I think they could keep it competitive because, you know, if it plays out a little bit like the Cal game, you know, they hung around for about a half against Cal. And they have
I think Arizona is much better than Cal, don't you?
Are they, though? I think they might be a little more balanced on offense than Cal is, but, you know, I think Hawaii's linebackers especially have played, I think they've played up. I've been a little surprised, especially by guys like, you know, Jelani Tavai, who, you know, he's racked up 21 tackles in 2 games so far. They're young in the linebacking core, obviously, but, you know, I think they have what it takes to maybe, you know, make Nick Wilson really work for his yards more than he had to last week against Grambling or something like that.
Okay, but you still think they're going to lose, right? Just close?
Yeah. I mean, I think they'll keep it close for a while, but I think Arizona will probably pull away at some point.
Yeah, if you want to watch this game, it's 8:45 or 7:45 Pacific, Pac-12 Network, so good luck with that. I will attempt my login I secured from family. Maybe I can watch a few minutes of that game, at least early on, where it might be interesting. Next game, which I missed over because thanks ESPN, because you put my favorite teams marked at the top. Utah is on the road to San Jose State, and no, my favorite team is not San Jose State, for those that might be wondering, but I still want to wonder, I forget how this happened, but this game was scheduled only a couple years ago, and it was a home and home. Because this is at Spartan Stadium.
Kind of a big game for the Spartans.
Hopefully they show up, and here's a few things. Right now it's only 13-point favorite for the Utes. I'm kind of surprised by that, and part of it is because their defense is just, honestly, watching them play and following them or what I do, this could be their best defense almost ever, and that's saying quite a bit when you have guys like Starlo Tulele, Paul Kruger, Sean Smith, guys like that all over the defense. But they did have, there's some actually surprisingly a lot of news that happened the other day, and this could help San Jose State a little bit because we can both agree their rushing defense is subpar, too high of a baseline for them.
It leaves something to be desired.
We'll do that. Joe Williams retired from football the other day from the Utes, starting running back, citing injuries or nagging injuries. Some people are speculating other reasons. I don't want to be mean to a guy, but if he says he's hurt that bad, do what you got to do. He's graduating December. Here's what they're doing, though. They're bringing in, they want to bring in this guy, Zach Moss, who could be the starter. I think he's a freshman, I want to say. I think he had a few carries versus BYU, but the running game, okay, there's, you know, Devontae Booker, who the Utes had last year, who did damage against the same Spartan team, but you got guys like Troy McCormick or Zach Moss's first games, essentially, really, first game ever, 12 carries, 58 yards. So even if they could make this freshman look really good, possibly. But that is also a positive for Spartans defense. You get a young guy and McCormick, the other running back, kind of split carry. So, and the running game wasn't especially great anyways for Utah. So either Spartans step it up or Utah just exposes what they have and rushes for like 250 yards.
So then what do you think is kind of the big key for this game for San Jose State to hang around?
Well, slow down the rush defense. I think it depends what Utah does offensively because the secondary for Spartans are still good. The quarterback, Troy Williams, he's a JUCO guy, started his career at Washington. He had three picks versus BYU, but yet BYU secondary is really good, and so is San Jose State, but BYU is a bit better than that for guys they have. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a possibility for there because he only threw 194 yards. 14-23, okay, but not too bad. Volume wasn't there. They need to stop Tim Patrick, the best receiver, but he only had three catches last week. I think that if they could shut down Troy Williams or keep him like sack, he's a mobile guy a little bit, so he can run a little bit. But if they, because they get, should mention San Jose State, I believe they get Christian Tago back this week. Is that correct?
I believe so.
I believe if they get him back, that's a big deal. We'll check the depth chart here in a second to make sure, because unfortunately the San Jose Mercury News has pretty much given up covering them at all, and that sucks. Because I like Jimmy Durkin. We chatted with him before, but he's covering the Oakland Raiders, and I can't blame him for going to that instead if that was an option for him. Depth chart really quick.
He's not listed.
No, he's not. So I thought I heard he might come back. So if he's not back, that's tough. But I think if they could force Utah to – I guess you want him to pass, but not get the yardage there. And it can't just be poor passing because if that happens, Utah will go to the ground game. They need interceptions and turnovers in the passing game.
Yeah, and I mean, the what you could say, at least, even without Christian Tago, you know, San Jose State's shown some ability to really, you know, get into the backfield. You know, they've already racked up, you know, 11 tackles for loss, which, you know, may not sound like a lot, but, it, you know, when you consider that the league leader already has 18 in the Mountain West, you know, it's still middle of the pack. It's still pretty good. You know, they've got guys in the middle, like Frank Ginda has been a guy that has really caught my eye. You know, he's already racked up 21 tackles as a sophomore. You know, he came on late last year to step into that starting position. You know, they've got other guys like Ethan Aguayo who has, you know, he stepped in last week for his first start ever. I believe I read something where I guess, you know, San Jose State in the first couple of weeks, they've had like 8 or 9 guys who were making their first career starts.
They are a young team, yes. They have, we'll keep going. I'll pull up their depth chart here and see.
I mean, and that might account for the slow start that they had, especially against Tulsa. It might take a little bit of time for this team to really coalesce. You know, the problem with that, with having a bunch of young guys on both sides of the ball, is that, it, to me, I think it puts a lot of pressure on Kenny Potter to really step up and be able to make plays. Because, you know, while the Spartans have been able to create tackles for loss, they've been able to create a couple sacks, they've given up a lot of tackles for loss too. Like they've already given up 14, which is 10th in the conference through two games. And, you know, if you watch that Tulsa game, that was really the big problem is, you know, Kenny Potter just didn't have a good game. They didn't give him time to really make plays.
Sure. Looking at their depth chart really quick, we'll cut back to that. Then we'll go to offense, but 6 guys, sophomore or younger on starting defense. Offense has 2 wide receiver, Trey Hardley and, left tackle, redshirt freshman, and a Troy Kowalski. I'm not sure how many were making their first starts, whether there's a combo of like first-time starts or young guys, but defense are young. But I think Potter, here's where they could have some success. Utah, when they played in the Mountain West before, Kyle Whittingham's been there forever. They run a man, basic, almost a pure man-to-man for secondary. Mm-hmm. Very little zone, very little just – you're going to play cover 0, essentially, covering your guys. If you're locked on the cornerback, receiver, that's who you're on. Not a ton of help, maybe some linebacker help, but it's basically a one-on-one coverage. And so if Potter has an arm, he's a good QB, maybe he could, if he gets some time, if guys are one-on-one coverage, he should be good enough to get open occasionally. That's how they can go over the top, possibly, if you get beat deep. And that could open up Billy Freeman if you have a safety trying to guard him, or a linebacker, pretty good, not great for Utah, but if you have an okay linebacker and there's no help, Billy Freeman should have a chance to get a lot of catches in this game. But that's one area where if the passing game is going, that's where they could expose Utah a little bit. But again, if their front seven's that good, especially their defensive line, there may not be time for Potter to throw the ball at all.
Well, it'll be interesting to see just where they try to get those big plays from, because, you know, Tim Crawley, I think, is who's ostensibly kind of the number one wide receiver. You know, he's only got 6 catches in 2 games so far. The guy who's really contributed a couple of big plays is Justin Holmes, who, as of right now, isn't even listed as a starter in the starting trio. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of role he plays, if he continues to be that deep threat that he's looked like in the first couple of games. Honestly, it's kind of a crapshoot, I think.
I just know Utah's offense isn't that great. That's the thing. New running backs, so okay quarterback, no, not really experienced receivers. They do have the best kicker, so there's that for the Utah and Andy Phillips. But 13 points seems right, but I'm wondering, I don't know. I don't expect San Jose State to win. I'm trying not to be biased because I want Utah to win by 50 points. I know they're not going to. And I want to see Troy Williams go 25-32 for like 280 and 3 touchdowns, but I don't think that's going to happen either. But I think Utah should win, and it should be fairly comfortable, whereas they may win like by 2 touchdowns or something, or 20, between 10 and 14 or 10 and 17 points. Where, but San Jose State, I just think they won't be able to do much offensively, and that's where Utah will just stop them, get short fields, and kind of go from there and get easy scores and easy touchdowns because they can stop them and take advantage of the field position with the punter they have. That's pretty good they have after replacing Tom Hackett, but that's where I think it'll come out to be, where if Spartans can't move the ball, it's going to be in trouble. And I don't think they will all that much.
Yeah, and I'm kind of with you on that one, just because, you know, some of it may be skewed a little bit by the level of competition, but, you know, at least in the evidence that we have, you know, Utah has really done a really good job of shutting down opponents on third down, especially. You know, they're second in the Pac-12 in, you know, opponents' third down conversions. So if they can stifle San Jose State drives after maybe like one first down or something like that, you know, yes, they do have Michael Carrizosa, who can tilt the field in their favor, but, you know, if they can't get any traction on offense, I think that this bodes well for Utah, and I like them enough to lay the points and take them against the spread.
I'm there with you. Look at the rushing game, because Jamal Williams for BYU, he got hurt, so he didn't play the full game. He was held to just 58 yards.
Yeah.
So that's it was almost 5 yards to carry, but the rushing yards came from quarterback Taysom Hill kind of scrambling and moving, and Potter, they'll move a little bit, but not great. And so that's an area where, because San Jose State just can't roll back and throw, and they can't, you know what I mean? Like, they don't have an offensive weapon. I think Potter's good, but they need to try to run the ball well enough. And I don't know how well that could be, at least attempt to, but I'm going like a 17 point victory minimum.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
We'll see. We agree on a lot of these games. It's not exciting when we agree almost, right?
Sorry, everybody.
You could say yes right there. That would have been kind of funny, but I guess not. It's okay. I'm terrible at making jokes. I attempt to, but, well, we'll see. Okay, so that's our show this week. Hopefully it's together. It'll be up hopefully Thursday morning. I got to make a few tweaks because we won't get into it because it's already 40 minutes when we talked about 3 games at this point, or however many we talked about, but it's a good hour. Do it on your commute, on your drive. On the subway. If you're flying, download it, maybe. And
Leave a review.
What do we have to do for a review?
Tell us.
Tell us what to, right? Tell us in the comments. What do we need to bribe you with something?
I don't know.
We got Quinterback t-shirts.
We will send compliments to people of your choosing.
We'll brew for your team. Is that good enough for you? Or we can hate another team, I guess. Is that a good thing too?
Hey, you know what? Every day should be Saturday. Raises money every year just to do exactly that, don't they?
They do something like that. I forget what Spencer does over there, but I know they do some charity, and I guess the team that provides the most money for that, they make him get a tattoo of something that they don't like, or some sort of thing like that. Isn't that what they do? I know Spencer's done a tattoo before, right?
I'm pretty sure they've been telling him to get a Michigan tattoo for like the last 5 years.
I'm thinking the exact same things. I think Michigan's won that for a while, being him a big Florida guy. But we'll figure something out. I don't know. Give us I know a good charity we could do that for if people want to, maybe later on. But I don't know what to do. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate a lot of more people are listening now, so tell your friends, right? Maybe give us a tweet for the show, a comment on the website, a review, iTunes, Stitcher. We're on SoundCloud still. Hopefully it gets up there first, but listen to the show. That's all I can say. We're having fun. We like to talk about football. Hopefully we – do you think we entertain people maybe?
Fingers crossed.
3 out of 10. Is that a good percentage?
That's the goal.
3 out of 10. So that's our show for tonight. MWCConnection.com. We got 10 games this week, one on Friday. So check it out for that and check out our previews and all sorts of shenanigans we do. And everybody have a good night. And yes, go your team.